State championship week, all three levels playing for the prize on Thursday in an NFL stadium. Who would have thought that a few years ago or back when we started this podcast? Never would have imagined, but it's going to be a fun Thursday at Allegiant Stadium. No huge surprises, but the triple header, of course, we've got Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley in the 3A, Silverado, Shadow Ridge in the 4A, and in the 5A. We have Bishop Gorman and McQueen, and it's actually a quadruple hitter. I should have said we don't really cover the 2A, but the Meadows and Yerington also playing. So four games on Thursday, the culmination of our year. This is Prep Sports Now, a Las Vegas Sun sports podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Ray Brewer. Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the added excitement of playing at Allegiant Stadium is really cool for the kids. You know, in addition to having the opportunity to win a championship, which is why you play, getting to, you know, play a game in that facility. I think a lot of, you know, I was over at Silverado yesterday for a preview and talked to a few of the kids, and one of them told me, like, listen, when they were building that thing, I said to myself, I want to get to play a game in that stadium. And usually you would think that would be what in, you know, a college setting or making to the NFL if you're one of the select few. But to get to do it at a high school player, right? And you see this happens in Dallas all the time where they can test all the state games at Cowboy Stadium or at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I just think the fact that the public investment was $750 million in the stadium – the fact that it's going to get used by the children here is outstanding. So I can't wait, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a cool thing. And it was announced relatively late, right? We didn't know for sure it was going to be there till earlier this month or maybe late October.
Yeah, we were going to do this at Centennial High School. So it's quite the upgrade, if you will, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be an all-day affair, as I said. I mean, there's probably going to be football for what, like 12 hours by the time this thing wraps up.
Absolutely. When your Moapa Valley your Moapa Valley Pirates beat the Virgin Valley Bulldogs, right?
Do you think the Pirates overlooking the Bulldogs as much as you are? I mean, you've just given Virgin Valley no chance all year, and here they are in the state championship.
You know, I don't think so. I think that, you know, well, first of all, Mesquite versus Overton is a rivalry in everything. Any sport, any activity, the communities are just so close. And the fact that they're so familiar with each other, right? This is the third game in 6 months because they played in that spring season where Moapa Valley also did win. But even further than that, their Pee Wee teams have played each other for years going up. So some of these kids that are going to be competing against each other have been, you know, on the opposite teams for years. And I think that's what's pretty cool. They did play in 06 in the state game, which Virgin Valley won. And I believe that game was actually at Virgin Valley. So to get the rematch at Allegiant Stadium, I know the first time Virgin was missing a few two-way starters who are now back in the lineup. And I know also the first time Moapa was missing Gunnar Redd, who is now back in the lineup. So both teams are a little more stronger. And listen, in a state game, if you could get the halftime at even, anything could happen, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. I mean, I think Moapa has a clear edge here, but man, I thought Virgin's a little bit better, I guess, than you do all year. I think that was, I don't remember what game, but I think that was one of the few $5 bets of the week I won was on Virgin. I get to pat myself on the back. I had them beating Elko last week. They slide by 23-16, so I don't know. I wouldn't count these Bulldogs out. They're kind of feisty. Brewer mentioned it, but this game is actually the final game. It's at 7 p.m., so a little bit different schedule there. But in the end, I mean, you mentioned Gunnar Redd, and I know Moapa Valley has a couple other big-time players. Do you think that just top-level talent is going to be a little too much?
Yeah, I just don't know because, I mean, I think Virgin, you know, with Gavin Brown at quarterback, has done a good job spreading the ball out. And I don't know, do you case factor in that they did have to travel to Elko and they did have to play a real close game? And then by the time they get home, because the game was on Saturday, right? By the time you get home, you got a quick flip to get ready to go play Thursday at Allegiant Stadium. So you basically got a 2.5-day work week to prepare for Moapa.
Yeah, that absolutely, I think, plays into it. I mean, that's a brutal schedule, even if you have an easy game. And like you said, they were in a war with Elko, as we expected. And Moapa Valley, meanwhile, they didn't have to leave Overton, right? They got Churchill County there, and they won relatively easily, it looks like, 42-21. So I think, you know, we already talent-wise, we're going to be on Moapa, but situationally, it does look like it favors them as well.
Yeah, and it's – but I do think that, you know, kids are resilient, especially when they're younger. Their bodies are going to recover more quickly. And I think once the ball's kicked, this is, you know, just Mesquite versus Overton in a $1.8 billion facility. So that's obviously pretty significant. It's going to be I wouldn't say the closest game of the day. I think that's going to be Shadow Silverado, but I do think that the Virgin Moapa game will not be a blowout.
Yeah, it's not just bodies to me for this, which, you know, I do think that's a concern when you play this close. But, I mean, you just don't have that much time to prepare. You're riding a bus all that time. You know, if you want to come into a state championship game with some wrinkles, I mean, I guess you can put in a couple things, but I don't think you're going to really surprise anyone. It just seems the way it's set up, it's going to be you run your best stuff, we're going to run our best stuff. And I just think Moapa Valley's best stuff is a little bit better. So it seems like we're somewhat on the same page there. I would maybe give a Virgin a little bit more of a chance. Why don't we backtrack to the first game of the day, or not the first game of the day, I keep forgetting about the 2A, but the game at noon, I believe, or 12:20, is Bishop Gorman and McQueen. I don't think anyone's expecting McQueen to do anything here, but I haven't talked to you. I got to hear a report. The game we talked about all year took place last week. I guess more patting myself on the back. I won our $5 bet. Liberty covered barely, but just give me your impressions of that game. Did it live up to the hype? What'd you think of Bishop Gorman Liberty?
Well, I tell you what, we initially labeled it also kind of like Bernard versus Branch, and Jeremy Bernard, man, talk about going down swinging. He was all over the field. Played quarterback, played running back, played wide receiver. Fourth and goal, give him the ball, power eye, returning kicks. Everybody in that stadium was like, wow, that kid is so fun to watch. He's the real deal. And he competed from the first whistle to the last whistle. And that was fun to see. And then Zach Branch returned a punt for a touchdown about 95 yards. Where he literally, Case, it felt like he shot out of a cannon. Like his initial quick, you like don't see that quickness. Like that's a kid that's getting recruited by like Ohio State and Alabama, and you see why that just out of a cannon speed you just don't see from a 16 or 17 year old kid, and it was just unbelievable. But you know, shout out to Liberty, their defense played great. They held Gorman scoreless in the – I mean, basically Gorman scored on three long plays, you know, and that was the difference. So Liberty by no means embarrassed itself. Yeah, it lost the game, but, you know, I think in years past, Gorman's beaten Liberty by a running clock, and this year I think Liberty played with them. And considering they only had four players left over from – the championship team, I really think it was Liberty making a statement that they're on, you know, they're in the same stadium as Bishop Gorman. You run the game 100 times, I think Liberty might win 25 times.
Whoa,
right?
Wow. That's
whereas
even last week.
Yeah. Whereas 2019, you run it 100 times, I think Liberty wins 8 times and they won the one time. You know, they kind of had everything go their way to win the game.
Wow, that is not the report I was expecting, but good to hear. And, yes, certainly looking at the box score, it does look like those big plays were the only huge difference.
Yeah, and, again, just, you know, all credit to all those kids who played in the game. There's a lot of D1 talent on both sides, and Liberty played hard until the end. They competed, and they were not afraid. You know, this Liberty team definitely thinks they could compete with Gorman, which – is very refreshing to see.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Gorman Case gets the exhibition against McQueen to get their state championship.
Right. So not much high expectations out of McQueen here. I just want to reiterate, love that report of the game, and we hyped up Jeremy Bernard so much that I'm glad to hear he had such a big game, over 200 yards, it looks like, combined rushing and receiving.
The Sun Standout Awards, May 24th this year, and I'm thinking Jeremy Bernard's going to be up for something. Maybe Male Athlete of the Year. Maybe Gorman Liberty turns out to be the game of the year just because of all the hype.
That makes sense to me. Didn't you last week you said he's a Washington commit, right?
Yeah.
Now they have a coaching change. Is he still headed to Washington or maybe somewhere else?
A good question. I was thinking the same thing when the guy got fired. So could UNLV swoop in and get him?
I mean, I don't know. That's more your territory than mine, but sounds like based on the numbers and what little I've seen of the kid in your report, sounds like he'll have a lot of opportunities, whether he honors his initial commitment or not. So good for him. And Gorman's going to have a lot of those kids as well. And I don't know that McQueen has quite as many. I mean, this should get ugly pretty fast, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I even saw, I think, like, the Reno Gazette had some photos of McQueen practicing or video of McQueen practicing. And I'm like, I'd have Silverado and Shadow each beating McQueen and not in close games. So it's, you know, and then you factor in that to get the game at Allegiant Stadium, which everybody wants, but they're not happy with it being on a Thursday – McQueen's got to leave tonight. They're leaving right now, Tuesday, to get here. And it's just, okay, you got to play Gorman. You got 2 days to prepare for him. Then you got to sit on a bus for 8 hours to come here and basically, you know, be the whip, be the Washington Generals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's rough. But, hey, I guess, you know, just got to look at it the best you can, and I hope those kids have a good experience as well, although I know you're not too fond of anything Northern Nevada.
Yeah, not that my life relates to Gorman football, but, you know, I coached Gabby's soccer team this fall, and whatever, it's a little rec team. The kids chase the ball around. You get a few players who know how to pass or whatever, but there was one team in the league – who knew how to pass and had a few girls that were really big and physical and just were kicking everybody's butt by like 12-0 or whatever. And, you know, at the end of the game, they had a girl who scored a goal and everybody went crazy. And after the game, I told the coach, I'm like, dude, I don't mind you kicking my tail, but it was a little bush league for you guys to go like that. And he's like, oh, well, that girl never scores. And, you know, this is good for our kids' confidence. And I'm thinking, what about the confidence of my kids? And I kind of felt how everybody, you know, like how Clark felt back in the day or Spring Valley felt back in the day having to play Gorman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that a good analogy, CK?
Yeah, I like it. You might be softening a little bit because I feel like you were I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you were a little dismissive of some of those complaints, at least more than other people.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Gorman's dressing 11 kids and Spring Valley's dressing 11 kids. But in reality, Gorman's 11 kids are just so elite. It's not even fun for the Spring Valley kids, which is why I'm happy that they have this new 4A, because it's given Shadow and Silverado, teams that had no chance in the at 5A or in the large division, an opportunity to win state. And, you know, I think the game of the day is the third game where undefeated Silverado takes on the team I thought was going to win state in Shadow Ridge.
Yeah, so we've naturally arrived at the 4A game. It's at 3:40 p.m. And like Brewer said, probably the game of the day. Should be a good one. Silverado, Shadow Ridge. I got to say, on Friday, I think I don't know if it was your tweet or I saw something that Silverado Coronado was close. Then I saw the final score was 42-7. Did that just get out of hand at the end? Or tell me about the Skyhawks coming into this one.
Yeah, I think Silverado had a pick six, and they really pushed Coronado around. Silverado is a really good team, and I got to give Coach Andy Ostolaza credit, because I've known Andy for maybe 20 years, and That guy is as old school as they come. Play good defense, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball. And, you know, he really took pride in wearing teams down. And he got this quarterback, Brandon Tannehill, who could throw the ball. And he said, listen, to maximize our offense, we got to become a passing team as well. And Silverado is undefeated, right? Literally the best season in school history. The school opened in 94. So most points scored, least points allowed, most wins, undefeated, one playing in the state game for the first time. And that's all credit to them going away from what they did and using the quarterback. You know, so by comparison, it would be like Arbor View when Barnton was the coach, getting a good quarterback and saying, you know what, we've ran the wing, it's our bread and butter, but now we're also going to throw the ball. And I just, you know, he's in the state game, and I think it's great. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are just probably envious of what Silverado and Shadow are doing, because they're having a chance to win a ring.
Yeah, and they've haven't had too much difficulty getting there. We mentioned the Silverado score. I guess Shadow Ridge ended up being a little bit closer, but still beat Vegas 65-37. So in the end, two lopsided scores in the semifinals. I mean, how many points are going to be scored in this game? I know it was 50-29 earlier this year, so 79 points scored in the Silverado win over Shadow Ridge. Do you think it'll be a little tighter for the championship, or do you think we're going to see another shootout at Allegiant Stadium?
I remember the first game, it was in August, and we went to shoot it, and I told our photographer, Steve Marcus, I'm like, hey, man, thank me later. There's going to be zero passing attempts, and we're going to get home at a good time. And whatever, it was 80 total points scored in the game, and they threw all over. So I think in that first meeting, Silverado surprised Shadow a little bit, because it was – the second game of the year, they didn't put much throwing on tape, and Silverado had some guys just wide open the whole game because the Shadow defense was so focused on containing the Silverado run. So I'm interested to see what kind of adjustment Silverado comes with. Are they going to keep a safety back to defend the pass? Do they have anybody that could, you know, hang with Jaden Thrower and Donovan Pellet? And then for Silverado, you know, the mystery is still stopping Shadow Ridge's misdirection rushing attack, right? Shadow threw the ball two times last week. Cole Colome and Jaquez Holland combined for like 400 yards rushing. And, you know, I get it. And they were down. Vegas was battling with them blow for blow. So could Shadow Ridge control the clock enough and get points on the board with this rushing attack to keep the game close? Silverado is very good up front. So who wins that battle between the Shadow offensive line and the Silverado defensive line? And could Shadow shorten the game with some long drives? And then what happens if, you know, Silverado doesn't complete a few passes, do they go back to the run? And Silverado really hasn't been in a close game all year, where Shadow's been in some back and forth affairs. If this game gets to the fourth quarter, does that then favor Shadow?
Yeah, that's a lot of good questions and a good overview. I do think this one, I mean, I agree with you. It should be the best game of the day. It should be relatively close. And I like your explanation that Silverado caught Shadow Ridge a little off guard in their early game. I just look at it, though, as Shadow has some real standout guys that can hang with anyone. And, I mean, maybe you could even argue we're up there with Tannehill as the most valuable players on the field. I mean, especially Holland. But I just think 1 through 11, Silverado's probably just got the better the talent gap here, and I think that might be a little bit too much to overcome. And it's not like you lost by 7 the first time, you lost by 21, so even if you play a lot better, still it's hard for me to get around to picking Shadow Ridge here.
Yeah, and I maybe because I'm proud, I just hate the fact that my pre – dude, I went like 138-25 in the picks this year, Case.
Nice job. Congratulations. You can get some praise from me.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just too proud to hate that my preseason pick, Shadow Ridge, is a distinct underdog in the state game. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think you should feel okay. It wasn't like, you know, no one knew what to expect out of the 4A. I'm sure if we asked a bunch of people, a lot of people would have different answers. I mean, just the fact that they've gotten this far, I feel like you shouldn't feel down on yourself for that.
Now, I will say that advantage to Shadow in terms of prep, because Silverado is going to try to, you know, defend the misdirection running in 2 days. Maybe there's a little edge where there's going to be some blown coverage and Shadow gets through. Also, Shadow is going to have 5 times the amount of fans there. And could that make a difference with the noise in a big arena like that? I don't know.
5 times the amount of fans? Do you have some
easily
insight into
five times the amount of fans.
They just travel Shadow, well?
Huh?
They just travel well? Or what's that?
Well, two things. One is Silverado's enrollment is less than Shadow's. Secondly, Shadow has a gigantic family involvement. They've got like a 50-member cheerleading squad, a band. All these people have brothers and sisters, and there's more school spirit at Shadow than Silverado. There's going to be a distinct 5-to-1 advantage in the amount of fans.
Interesting. I think that would have mattered more at Centennial, especially they'd be close to Centennial than it will at Allegiant Stadium. I mean, the building's a little big, as you know, so I don't necessarily see that playing a big factor, but that is an interesting thing that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so sounds like I guess we should get to the picks. We kind of gave it away with all these, but we're going to start with this one because I am interested to hear what way you're going. It seems like you really want to pick Shadow Ridge. So where are you ultimately going to land? Shadow Ridge, Silverado for the 4A crown.
Yeah, so I end up, CK, picking Silverado in what I think is going to be a very close game. When you look at what they've accomplished this year, they're basically Gorman. We're looking for ways that Paolo back in the day or Liberty in modern day could hang with Silverado just for the interest of having a close game. But truth is that Silverado's got the best player in the field in Pellet, who never comes off the field, and it's just been a magical season. So I've got Silverado 35, Shadow Ridge 29.
Okay, 6 points. So if you were I'm trying to force in one last $5 bet. If you were making the number, what would it be?
It's kind of odd because I could see it being less than 10, but I could also see it getting away from Shadow Ridge.
Okay, well, what about 10? I was going to say 10. You want to
Who do you get and who do I get on that?
Well, I want Silverado.
And I got Shadow plus 10?
Yeah. 10 and a half?
Yeah, I'd do 10 and a half. I mean,
I think I've won 2 in a row, but I still think you would be up. This is just a guess, but I think you're probably up $5 on the year. So this might be double or nothing.
Okay, so either way, I'm either getting a Subway sandwich out of this or we're going to shake hands and move it to next season.
All right, yeah, so yeah, I'll take Silverado minus 10 and a half if you want.
Okay, baby.
I think that's pretty fair. I think it will be somewhat close, but I still think in the end I would say similar to your score, but I think I'd end up picking Silverado by 2 touchdowns. So that does it for that game. Let's go back in time then to pick Gorman and McQueen. I've got Gorman by, I'll say, 63 points.
Yeah, Case, I think in the picks, I picked it 62-0. Are you looking at the picks?
No, I swear I'm not.
Okay, that's a great number. So the year that in 08 you covered that Bishop Minogue Bishop Gorman game, right? Basketball.
Yeah, I think it was like 2012, though. I wasn't here in 08.
Okay, 2012.
Yeah.
And Gorman had Shabazz, and they were supposed to roll everybody. And Minogue came in there and shocked them. Minogue, if they ran that game 100 times, would have won, what, five times, three times?
Yeah, so, I mean, they were pretty decent, but I would say definitely 10 at most.
Okay. How many times do you think if they ran this 100 times, McQueen would beat Gorman?
Zero.
Zero. I mean, this is literally like, you know, Gorman could bring up the freshman team and beat these guys.
Yeah, and basketball is also a lot different than football. I feel like, I mean, some crazy things can happen in one basketball game. It's tougher when the talent in football, when the talent gets this big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're on the exact same page with this one. We almost had the same score.
That's somehow wild.
Yeah. All right, so then I guess that means the final one is the hammer game. Not really the hammer game, but the rivalry. The capper to the high school football season, it's Moapa Valley and Virgin Valley. Who you got in that one?
Yeah, Moapa's undefeated, Case, and they've been my pick since day one, and rightfully so. I mean, have you seen Austin Heiselback's stats? I mean, every week the kid's got two or three touchdowns and 100 yards. And what really was telling for me, though, is when they played the hammer game and Gunner Red went out, they plugged in some kid named Dustin Gordon, who basically went for 200 yards as well. And I know that Virgin was banged up, and I know they've got some players back, and those players are going to impact the passing game and the pass defense game. But I just don't – I mean, Dustin Gordon? I mean, if that kid even I just don't see Virgin pulling it off. And I've had such a great time talking with Coach Matt Woods this year, and, you know, the fact that they won some game. I mean, when you're a small town like Virgin or Mesquite, you not only do you got kids that are playing both ways, those kids are also getting ready to wrestle or play basketball or get for the baseball season for, you know, in the spring. And it's not like they're focused on football year round, like you might see at a Gorman or a Liberty, you know, and to have three guys go out in one game, which is kind of what happened to them against Boulder City, and to piece it together to get to the state game, going to Pahrump for 3 hours and then to Elko is nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, they've definitely gone out and competed and showed great courage. But I just don't see them beating Moapa, because Moapa is just so damn organized, man. You know, it's you're not going to out-coach them, and you don't have better players. So I got Moapa 39-23.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think any team that makes it this far, I know losing is always going to hurt, especially in the state championship game. But I think when you look back on it with some time, you'll be happy with this experience, and you should be proud of just getting to the state championship game, especially in Virgin Valley's case, where you just detailed all they've been through this season and kind of this tough schedule. I've got Moapa in this game. I think maybe a little closer than you. I think Moapa will take control early, though, and kind of ride it out, beat their rivals, and win a state championship to end the high school football season this year.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, to listening to our podcast this season. We've proudly could say we've got the longest tenured podcast in Las Vegas, and if it weren't for all the coaches and players that listen every week, we wouldn't be here doing it. It's kind of a labor of love for us, right, CK, because we both kind of do a few more things than we did initially here. So I appreciate you helping me this year, homie.
Yeah, for sure. It's been fun, and we look forward to Thursday at Allegiant Stadium. Stay on LasVegasSun.com for reports from Brewer. You can find him on Twitter as well. I'm sure he'll keep you updated on these games. Seems like we have a pretty strong handle on them. And until then, I guess after then, whatever I'm trying to say, we will talk to you next year. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now, part of Las Vegas Sun Sports Podcasts. Signing off for the 2021 season.